government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
You've retired. You don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. What makes the sale of Texas's largest utility company to private investors so big? TXU would scrap plans for 8 out of 11 coal-fired power plants. David Hawkins is climate change director at the Natural Resources Defense Council.
They are going to embrace larger investments in energy efficiency and renewable energy. So this is a 180-degree turnaround.
TXU says it makes good business sense, a promise to cut electricity rates by 10% while reducing greenhouse emissions by 20%. Cleaner coal technology cuts no ice with NASA scientist James Hansen. He's one of top researchers into global warming, and he says there ought to be no more coal-fired plants in America. His attack on the Bush administration's climate policy today in Washington.
NASA scientist James Hansen says the Bush administration tried to stop him from speaking out on global warming last year. Speaking to the National Press Club, he says officials retaliated by retroactively cutting NASA's research budget in midstream.
And in my mind, there's no question that that was punishment for bad news.
Hansen says the administration has no interest in hearing facts that contradict its policies. Peter King, CBS News.
The jury wraps its fourth day of deliberations in the Scooter Libby perjury trial. CBS's Barry Bagnato.
3.5 days of deliberations have passed and still no verdict. And now only 11 jurors have to agree, not 12. An elderly art expert on the panel was dismissed after becoming exposed to information about the case. The judge decided not to call in an alternate, a move that would have meant starting deliberations from scratch.
CBS's Drew Levinson tells us the custody battle over Anna Nicole Smith's baby girl will continue in March in the Bahamas.
In court today, both Anna Nicole Smith's mother and her ex-boyfriend fought for custody of the daughter. But the judge has made no ruling, leaving the baby in the care of the former model's partner, Howard K. Stern.
A man who killed his wife says he wants to die on hold in North Carolina's death row. The issue is whether having a prison doctor in the death chamber violates the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. State law requires a doctor to be present. The state medical board's ethics law says thou shalt not participate in it. So they're stuck. We Were Soldiers, great book, award-winning movie by Mel Gibson, celebrating the birth of the air cavalry during the Vietnam War. For the men who were there, it was horrifyingly real, and pilots like Major Bruce Crandall made it possible. That's why President Bush put the Medal of Honor around his neck today, 41 years later.
Over the course of the day, Major Crandall had to fly three different choppers. Two were damaged so badly they could not stay in the air. Yet he kept flying until every wounded man had been evacuated and every need of the battalion had been met.
It is legendary stuff even today. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 15 points, closing at 12,632. The Nasdaq lost 10.5 points. Oil prices up 25 cents at $61.39 a barrel. This is CBS News.
I'd never gone through commercial real estate experiences before, and there was a lot I did not understand.
I bring my knowledge, my background, and my experience to the table.
Our realtor was able to really hone in, and that's when we found our space.
Working with my realtor saved me a lot more than money. It saved me time. It saved me aggravation.
Work with a realtor, someone who knows the commercial real estate market and can guide you through the process. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Definitely a smart business decision to use the realtor.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Counting calories ought to be a menu option in the restaurant. That's what the so-called food police are saying.
Hey, hungry?
Bacon cheeseburger pizzas. Buffalo chicken stuffed quesadillas.
Michael Jacobson of the Center for Science and the Public Interest.
This is extreme eating.
His group says restaurants offer outrageous dishes.
The food police are not going to take this away from you. Restaurants have every right to make these foods, and you have every right to eat them.
Just put on the menu, he says, how many calories.
The restaurant industry is strongly opposed to calorie labeling because it knows that people will choose smaller dishes.
Instead of 2,000 calorie appetizers. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
If you stick real money on a canvas with paints and glue for art, you know the work is worth something. It's made of money, in this case about $16,000 worth in Norwegian kroner. It was on display in Oslo. Some thieves evidently appreciated the artwork a lot. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Okay, ooh, 17-inch aluminum wheels, all-new Chrysler Sebring Touring, standard. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric, Sebring, standard. Other guys, not available. There's got to be something, huh? Steering wheel, Sebring, standard. Toyota and Honda, standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out, with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110, MSRP excludes tax.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, originating in rainy, soggy San Francisco. We got a lot to talk about on the program today. Up first, Paul Waldman will join us from Media Matters for America. Well, the mainstream media did a lot of doozies last week. We'll cover a few. Also on today's program, he writes for The Nation. Michael T. Clare will join us to discuss his thoughts about the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran. And next hour, two voices talk about the new Iraqi oil law. Raed Girar has been on our program before. He's the Iraq Project Director for Global Exchange and an actual Iraqi. And Antonio Yuhas is an economist and an author. Her recent book is The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. She's been on our program before, quite knowledgeable on these issues of the distribution of oil resources, the accessibility of it to multinationals, and whether it'll actually lead to the partitioning of Iraq. That's all ahead, plus our free speech zone. Tommy Panic may give us a panic attack today. He apparently was at the Oscars in Hollywood last night. So we might be hearing from him before the end of the day. We just never, ever know. And I want to start off the program by thanking all the people who sent emails to me and KPHX in Phoenix starting Friday and continuing over the weekend. It's a very gratifying wave of support for keeping the Peter B. Collins Show live in Phoenix, where we currently are. But that appears to be subject to change as early as next week. Now, I haven't received any formal or written notification of these scheduled changes, which is ordinarily how these things work in the business. But we're standing by for further clarification. And we still encourage you to send your thoughts to the management folks. And poor Billy Foster has had his email box swamped, but he is our contact person there at KPHX. So if you would like to weigh in, and I encourage you to do so, I appreciate it if you choose to, just send him an email. That's bfoster@aaphx.com. That's bfoster@aaphx.com. And send a copy to me so that I have a record of it and can forward it to the top dogs, the decision makers. And that address is peter@peterbcollins.com. Once again, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we'll keep you updated if any progress is detected.
We start off Mondays with a look back at the corporate media's performance in the preceding week. And there's never enough time to grade it all. Our media man today, Paul Waldman, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. Hello again, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, I wanted to turn first to an issue that we discussed last week at this time, because a week ago Sunday, many people were stunned by a piece that was prominently published in the Washington Post by one Victoria Tonsing. She was a former Justice Department official in the Reagan administration, and she wrote a piece that was complete with dummied-up mugshots, and it looked like an indictment of Patrick Fitzgerald, Joe Wilson, and others related to the CIA leak case, which has now been boiled down to the Scooter Libby trial. And just this morning, Judge Reggie Walton dismissed one of the 12 jurors. And it's, of course, they don't go into detail at this point about exactly what occurred. But what we do know is this female juror was dismissed for some sort of inappropriate contact with media, which suggests that she read a story or saw a TV story or package about the Libby trial that might have tainted her views of these deliberations that are underway. What can you tell us about that? And is it right to at least include in the suspects the Washington Post and Victoria Tonsing?
Well, we could certainly include them in the suspects. Obviously, as you said, they have not said exactly what she saw, but we know that was a piece that was in the Washington Post last Sunday, and we at Media Matters just took that occasion to look through the Washington Post. What we found is that they've published four op-eds attacking the prosecution in this case since the indictment was handed down. They haven't published any op-eds defending the prosecution, and that piece by Victoria Tonsing was really quite remarkable, as you said. It had those mugshots. It was this whole bill of particulars against everyone involved in the case, and she is someone who is sort of a Republican attack dog who gets trotted out for a lot of these kinds of instances where they want someone to go after Democrats, to go after anyone who's being critical of Republicans.
So can we conclude that Michelle Malkin was too busy to take that on? Boo frickin' who?
Well, maybe. Tonsing at least has the credibility of having once served in the administration and in the Reagan administration. We don't know exactly what this woman saw, but what we do know, according to the early news reports, is that the prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, wanted to seat one of the alternates and restart the deliberations. They've been deliberating with this juror, but without the alternates, and the judge rejected that. And according to at least one article I saw, Fitzgerald was displeased with that. That was his request, was to restart the deliberations. And a defense team, Libby's defense lawyers, were happy with this outcome of this one juror just being dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no evidence that she discussed this with any of the other jurors, but they're going to go forward with the deliberations with 11 jurors. We still don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. The one little tidbit which has no bearing but is worth mentioning is that on Valentine's Day, this juror was the only one who refused to wear a red T-shirt into the jury box. She was not a team player, I guess.
I guess not. So they've removed the troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. All right, Paul. Let's next talk about the big flap that occupied a lot of ink and a lot of TV space last week. It started with a Maureen Dowd interview of David Geffen. Geffen was a longtime supporter of President Bill Clinton, I think raised $18 million for him, and was still buddies with him when Clinton left office. And he was highly critical of Hillary Rodham Clinton and directly to the former president. And Maureen Dowd wrote it up in her typical style. And it led to a firestorm with barrages back and forth between the Clinton and Obama camps about whether Obama should disavow this and return the money that had been raised at the fundraiser in Hollywood, a week ago tonight. We now know, and Media Matters has dug into this, that it was Maureen Dowd who provoked David Geffen into those comments, and he apparently was, not that eager to be interviewed. What else can you tell us about the background of this story?
Well, that's what Newsweek has reported, based on, I believe, interviews with both Geffen and with Maureen Dowd, is that she is the one who brought it up. She kind of encouraged him to talk about the Clintons, and then he made what some people might consider relatively innocuous comments, or if not innocuous, certainly things that other people have said, criticisms that other people have made of the Clintons. What kind of amazes me is just how much attention this thing has gotten. I mean, if you think about it, it was over a week ago, and the news is still talking about it. There must have been hundreds of articles written about this. And what was it really all about? Well, a supporter of Obama said some critical things about Hillary Clinton, and then the Clinton campaign criticized him and criticized Obama, and the Obama campaign kind of shot back.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of standard issue campaign stuff. But you have this press corps that on the one hand is saying, oh, you know, it's so terrible how negative campaigns get. And it's also so terrible how early they're starting and how long we're going to have to spend talking about this campaign. And isn't it awful, and doesn't it show how degraded our democracy has come? And yet, then when you get one little tiny kerfuffle, a little back and forth between a couple of the candidates, you see all these reporters who treat it as though it's the biggest story since D-Day. And it's really kind of amazing. I think that there's a lot of other things we could that are notable about this, too. I mean, it's not too surprising to hear that Maureen Dowd is kind of encouraging someone to take a stab, a snipe at the Clintons. She's someone who, I think people on the right think of her as a liberal because she's been critical of President Bush, which she certainly has. But people should remember that she was absolutely vicious toward Bill Clinton during his entire term in office. And that's kind of the profile that she has, is that she's just going to sort of be snarky at whoever, the president.
Right. She's kind of a kebab specialist. She'll skewer anybody and anything.
Yeah, and that's perfectly, that in and of itself is perfectly valid. You know, there are a lot of criticisms one could make of her and her particular style. And,
mm-hmm.
She occupies one of the most valuable pieces of real estate in the entire world of political punditry, which is a regular column on the New York Times op-ed page. And so when she writes something about something somebody says about Hillary Clinton, it's going to be news because all the other reporters read that. And even though, as I said, they constantly decry negative campaigning, they're just salivating at the opportunity to be able to write about a spat between the candidates.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk more about this. We should take our break now because I agree with you that the setup of this and the origins of it bear some explanation and some research. At the same time, I think both the Obama and Clinton camps overreacted, and Harold Wolfson in particular was in a take-no-prisoners kind of mood. We'll pick up there as we continue with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Visit their website, mediamatters.org. They do a great job of capturing what the media reports and correcting where necessary. If you'd like to join us, lines available toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Monday Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Show.
Presidential elections. Our planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance.
That goes way back to the mid-80s and Tim Buck III. It's called Presidential Elections, and our planned distraction has gotten really amped up, ramped up, hyped up, and more distracting earlier in the process than, well, I've ever seen in my lifetime. We continue now with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. And, Paul, getting back to this, David Geffen, interviewed by Maureen Dowd, says nasty things about the Clintons. Then Hillary's team says that Obama has to disavow it and return the money. And he says, why should I apologize for something somebody else said? And then the campaign team started going at it. And, frankly, neither one of them came out of it smelling very good. Of course, when you start a pissing contest, you can't really improve your aromas. And as I look at this, you know, this is kind of a rehearsal for next year in the real primaries and a general election, should either Obama or Clinton make it and get the nomination. And for Hillary's team, I feel that they overreacted and really went ballistic over something that they probably ought to get inoculated to. This stuff is out there, and it's going to be around if she's going to be a serious candidate.
Yeah, well, this is, I think, always the dilemma for a campaign when you get some kind of criticism or some sort of piece of information that comes out that you don't want people to be talking about. It's, do you hit back hard and knock it down, or do you try to ignore it in the hopes that nobody else will pay any attention to it either? There's no hard and fast rule on what to do about that. You know, we can certainly look at individual cases like, say, the Swift Boat veterans. When they were spreading their dossier of lies about John Kerry, the consensus now is that he spent too much time trying to ignore it. But there have been plenty of other cases where candidates have had something thrown at them that they would have been better off ignoring instead of drawing attention to.
Well, but we can see now that the Clinton campaign extended the shelf life of this story by at least 3 days.
You know, that may be true. And as I said, the political press is kind of primed and ready for any sort of sniping between the candidates. I mean, they want things to be as petty as possible. They want conflict. They want hostility. Those are the things that the political press thrives on. You know, they may come out with a lot of high-minded talk about how candidates should be talking about issues and all that. But the fact of the matter is that when we get down to it in the campaign coverage, they don't want candidates to talk about issues. They don't care about the issues. They're not going to spend time analyzing your 10-point plans. You know, by the end of this campaign, all the candidates are going to have very detailed 10-point plans that you can read up on their website, but the reporters aren't going to pay any attention to them. They're much more interested in talking about spats, talking about the campaign sniping at one another. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, even though a lot of the reporters are saying, well, this threatens Obama's, you know, his message of trying to be above all that sort of stuff. You know, the fact of the matter is this is a campaign, and the campaigns are going to criticize each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be happening for the next 18 months or however long it is until we have another president. You could say that maybe the Clinton campaign overreacted, maybe the Obama campaign overreacted. It's certainly the case that the press overreacted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Paul, if we zoom out here and just look critically at what the media did last week, you pointed out to me a great story that's at Media Matters about how easy Rudy Giuliani is getting off in the media. Very little criticism, very little hard looks back at his past, even more recent than the stuff that's being dredged up about Bill and Hillary. And yet we see the media really pouncing on the Democratic infighting, while to me the bigger story is that the Republican administration is imploding. They've lost their discipline. There are, you know, Republicans who are freelancing, and, you know, Giuliani's one of them. In some ways, he is subtly running against the Bush administration.
Yeah, I think that's true in many ways. He's talked about the surge and how he supports it, but he's not sure if it's going to work. Whereas, you know, the line that the Bush administration would like everyone to take is, of course, this is going to work. You're absolutely right that Giuliani is somebody who has really gotten a free ride from the press for a long time. You know, he's always talked about as, oh, he's America's mayor and he's the hero of 9/11. You never see too much discussion of exactly what he did on 9/11 that was so fantastic and heroic. You know, he had some press conferences where he was composed. But the halo of that means that reporters talk about him having national security credentials when, in fact, he has precisely zero experience on national security. He was mayor of New York. He doesn't have any foreign affairs experience. He doesn't have any national security experience.
He doesn't have any national experience.
And particularly when it comes to 9/11 and this idea that he was such a hero, one thing you can say about Rudy Giuliani is that in the 5 years since 9/11, he has milked that for every single cent he could squeeze out of it.
Mm-hmm.
He has turned himself into a one-man 9/11 Incorporated. He gives speeches for $100,000 a pop and demands a Gulfstream jet to fly him to the location of the speech, where he will talk about how heroic he was on September 11th. He said up a whole series of businesses, these sort of security consulting businesses based on his supposed experience in September 11th. He will come and give you very high-priced advice about security. He has gotten extremely wealthy, made millions and millions of dollars milking September 11th for every cent that he could. And there has been some serious questions raised. There was a book written, I believe, by a reporter from the Daily News and a reporter from the Village Voice questioning the things that he did before September 11th and after September 11th, but that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. There's this idea that all you have to do is mention Rudy Giuliani and September 11th, and everyone will say, oh, he's so fantastic. And there hasn't really been much appetite in the press for any kind of serious examination of him and that record.
Well, and Chris Matthews actually froths at the mouth when he gets excited about Rudy Giuliani, and Media Matters has posted some of his critical remarks of Giuliani going back to 99 and 2000. And apparently Chris's memory has been swept of those negatives on Rudy.
Well, I think a lot of people's memories got swept away after September 11th. You know, if you talk to New Yorkers there, they say, boy, you know, on September 10th, this guy was someone who a lot of people regarded as someone who had done a good job in many ways as mayor, but was really kind of an arrogant jerk in the view of many people in New York, and they were sort of glad to see him go. And then September 11th happened, and all of a sudden, everything that he did, everything about him that people didn't like, got sort of just swept away in their memories, and he is sort of forever defined by what happened on that one day when he gave a couple of good press conferences.
Paul Waldman, thanks for joining us. Read all about it, MediaMatters.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
What are George W. Bush's intentions toward Iran? Why is Dick Cheney circling the globe repeating the threats that he could easily just make in Washington, D.C.? Why are two U.S. carrier groups stationed in the Persian Gulf? And why do we have to go to British media once again to find out details of U.S. plans and some of the intentions of our key Middle East ally, Israel? Well, that's enough leading questions. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. And we try every day to cover the issues related to Iran because we fully expect that one morning here on the left coast, where we're 3 hours behind the action in Washington, we're going to wake up and find a fait accompli that the Bush administration, overriding the Congress and ignoring most experts in the world community, seems poised to engage in military attacks on the nation of Iran. Joining us to offer perspective is Michael T. Clare, K-L-A-R-E. He's professor of peace and world security studies at Hampshire College, and he's the defense correspondent for The Nation magazine. His most recent book is Blood and Oil, The Dangers and Consequences of America's Growing Dependence on Imported Petroleum. Michael T. Clare, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, where we care about your middle initial.
Hi, glad to be with you.
How are you today?
Okay.
Well, thank you for joining us. And got a lot we'll try to jam into this half hour, Professor. First of all, you have a powerful piece that was published just today on Common Dreams. It's also from TomDispatch.com, and I imagine it might be available on the Nation.com website. It's entitled Bush's Future Iran War Speech. I want to go into some detail on that. I also want to talk about developments over the last couple of days about Israel's intent. They appear to have asked the United States for permission to at least have a contingency plan for airstrikes on Iran that would require Israel to fly over U.S.-controlled airspace in the 51st state of Iraq. We'll talk about that, and also a story from the London Times that unnamed U.S. generals are prepared to resign if Bush does launch a military assault on Iran. First, to your piece, you raise a couple of key questions, and or at least some of the threads of Bush's hints about his intentions toward Iran. And the first question I have for you is, why do we have to guess about this kind of extended international soap opera that the president is setting up? His stealth really, you know, makes a lot of us uncomfortable after, of course, we saw the run-up to the voluntary invasion of Iraq.
Well, that's precisely the reason, because in 2003, President Bush came under a lot of criticism for going to war against Iraq without going through the full, you know, 9 yards of going to the UN and going through all of the routines and all of the appeals and, you know, the whole thing of trying to get the UN to approve of U.S. action. I think he was going to go in and invade anyway, but he got a lot of criticism for not going through the whole process. So this time I think he wants to be able to say to the American public when he makes that speech, whenever that is, about attacking Iran, well, look, this time I did it your way. I did exactly what you wanted. I went to the UN. I went there time after time. I asked them, and, you know, they never did exactly what we needed them to do. They never gave us the kind of resolution we need to truly force the Iranians to back down. But I went through the motions, so you can't say I didn't do what you asked me to do. So we have to go through that charade.
Mm-hmm. Now, you detail in your article that he's made repeated references to Chapter 7 of the UN Charter, three different occasions that you cite, and that Chapter 7 is related to action with respect to threats to the peace, breaches of the peace, and acts of aggression. You write, this sets the stage for the international community under UN leadership to take such steps as may be deemed necessary to maintain or restore international peace, ranging from mild economic sanctions to full-scale war. But the December 23rd resolution was specifically framed under Article 41, which entails measures not involving the use of armed force. So how do we maneuver out of the sanctions, which were hard enough to get consensus on, into military action sanctioned by the United Nations, when we know particularly that Russia and China are very unlikely to go along?
Well, that's exactly the soap opera. That's the term I used in my article for TimeDispatch.com that we're going through. Now, there was a meeting today in London, I believe, with the five permanent members of the Security Council plus Germany, where this process began. That is where the U.S. say, look, Article 41, the non-military means, didn't do anything. The Iranians snubbed their nose at us. They didn't back down. They're proceeding on their nuclear enrichment. So those kind of non-military measures did nothing. So we have to step up the pressure on them and move to Article 42, which at least implies that we're prepared to use force. I do not think that Russia and China are going to agree to that. So we're going to have several months of this kind of diplomacy, which I believe isn't going to lead to anything. And then at the end of this process, I think President Bush is going to get on national television and say, look, I've tried everything. It's failed. Now we're going to take matters into our own hands and attack Iran and solve it militarily.
Well, and of course, we do have this history that precedes the Bush administration, that the U.S. Uses the United Nations when it's convenient and bashes the United Nations the rest of the time. And so it's not unlikely that the scenario you offer could occur. But it also seems that, you know, Bush appears to feel that he's above all this, that he doesn't need authorization from Congress. Seymour Hersh's article, which is in the new issue of The New Yorker, and people can find it at truthout.org, other spots online, is frightening in some of its detail about the covert operations that apparently have already taken place. Bush has spent money, perhaps given it to the Saudis for covert operations without any known authorization. We're not even sure what slush fund it's coming from. And if Seymour Hersh's reporting is accurate, and it's almost always been that way in the past, then we see a president who feels unrestrained by these earthly boundaries or barriers created by a United Nations or world opinion or the U.S. Constitution.
Well, that's not the way he views it, of course. In his recent comments, which I parsed very closely in my essay, you know, he says that the Iranians are responsible for attacks on American soldiers in Iraq, that they're responsible for providing the technology for these improvised explosive devices, and that as commander-in-chief, that's the way he puts it, as commander-in-chief, I have an obligation to protect American soldiers, and therefore I will do what's necessary to protect American soldiers in harm's way. And he says, I don't need further approval from Congress, that the Constitution allows me to do what's necessary to put a stop to this kind of action. So that's the way he frames it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your essay, you also go into some detail about the allegations about these shaped weapons and the components that the U.S. continues to declare coming from Iran. There's another incident that was exposed, this time in southern Iraq, made the papers today. And we have equal parts of assertion from the Pentagon and skepticism from, you know, impartial and credible observers. And, you know, we don't have proof that this alleged evidence is actually accurate.
It's just as you say. How can any of us here in this country who don't have the ability to examine this evidence, who are not, of course, trained or equipped to examine it closely, how are we to judge this? I think the best we could ask is that members of Congress go over there or send trained observers with the forensic capacity to look at this and to examine this evidence for the American public and say, look, George, don't do anything until we have had the opportunity to examine this evidence and to look it over. That's what we have to ask for. We have to ask that Congress steps in and demands to see the evidence and to put a hold on any kind of military action until something like that occurs.
Well, LA Times published a story on Saturday, Dateline Vienna, Austria. Despite growing international concern about Iran's nuclear program and its regional ambitions, most U.S. intelligence shared with the U.N. Nuclear Watchdog Agency has proved inaccurate, and none has led to significant discoveries inside Iran. Likewise, those who have examined the evidence that came out of that bizarre news conference with generals or intelligence officers who would not identify themselves and evidence that was not permitted to be photographed, this is all very, very murky, and it requires a great deal of trust on the American people,
right.
Trust that has been badly, badly abused by
right.
this president.
Right, right. Remember, we're talking about a part of the world, the Middle East, where there are all kinds of black market arms merchants. The area is awash with arms. Baghdad was a black market arms center before Saddam Hussein fell. There are weapons from all over the world. Some of them are American, some of them are Russian, they're French, they're Chinese, there are weapons from all over. It's very difficult for anybody to be able to say they may be Iranian weapons or technology there that have been there for a long time. It's virtually impossible to be able to say that this particular weapon, even if it does have Iranian markings, wasn't acquired 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I think it's impossible to be able to pinpoint that with any absolute certainty.
At the beginning, I cited that we often go to sources in the United Kingdom to get accurate information about the United States. 2 weeks ago today, after the U.S. held the bizarre news conference that I referred to, we consulted with a gentleman in England who had written a 12-page critique of the so-called evidence that had been presented. And one of the bits of information was fascinating, that the infrared sensors that are used as triggers for these improvised bombs either came from Radio Shack in the United States or from the Irish Republican Army, which in turn got them from the British government, which gave them to the IRA during the conflict so they would know what kind of technology the IRA was using it and have a better opportunity to bust it up or interfere with any attempted bombing plots. And that doesn't implicate Iran. Radio Shack and the UK / Northern Ireland.
Huh.
Somehow, that doesn't really connect to Tehran and support the administration's case.
Well, that's exactly my point. And, you know, I can't comment on that particular report, but my research on the international arms traffic tells me that this is a crossroads of all kinds of illegitimate arms trafficking. Baghdad was the center of this. Saddam Hussein was a master of illicit arms trafficking during the period of the UN arms embargo that the U.S. backed for 10 or 12 years. He was able to get weapons from everywhere on the face of the earth and stockpile them. And we know that the insurgents in Iraq have been able to get their hands on weapons from all over the world. So you could never tell where any particular weapon was acquired. It could have been there for a long period of time from anywhere on the face of the earth.
We're going to take a break and return. Michael T. Clare is our guest. He writes for The Nation magazine, where he serves as their defense correspondent. And you can read the item, the article that we're talking about, at tomdispatch.com or at commondreams.org. Those are two places I know you can find it on the web. If you have a comment, join us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hello. Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Salt means our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies by him before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending a military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue our conversation with Michael T. Clare, K-L-A-R-E, Professor of Peace and World Security Studies, Hampshire College, Defense Correspondent of The Nation magazine, and the article we're talking about you can read at TomDispatch.com or CommonDreams.org. Would the road to hell take us through Tehran? I thought you could get there direct from Baghdad. British bluesman Chris Rea, R-E-A. If you can ever find that CD called The Road to Hell, pick it up. A lot of great tunes on there. Michael T. Clare, I wanted to ask you to comment on a couple of stories. As I mentioned, we often have to look to the British press to break some of this information. Dateline Tel Aviv published Saturday, Israel's negotiating with the United States for permission to fly over Iraq as part of a plan to attack Iran's nuclear facilities, this according to the Daily Telegraph. To conduct surgical airstrikes against Iran's nuclear program, Israeli warplanes would need to fly across Iraq, but to do so, They need permission from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we heard a floater, you know, one of those trial balloon stories a few weeks back, also Dateline from a London newspaper, that there were Israeli contingency plans to use a nuclear weapon to bust the bunkers in Iran at their nuclear facilities. And putting aside the incredible irony and the fact that Israel's never actually admitted it has nuclear weapons, what do you make of these kind of threatening actions or the contingency plans from Israel?
Well, my personal reading on this, and there are different interpretations, my personal reading on this is efforts by Israel to put pressure on Washington to do the job themselves. In other words, it's sort of saying, look, George, if you don't take action, we'll be forced to do that. Now, everybody knows they can't do as good a job as the United States. They don't have the hundreds of aircraft and missiles that the United States can bring to bear. We have the aircraft carriers that you alluded to earlier in the Persian Gulf, much greater firepower. Israel, it doesn't have the capacity that the U.S. has to do this effectively. I think these are all efforts to sort of push the United States into doing it, because by saying we'll do it, it's sort of implying, you know, if Israel has to do it, it'll be a terrible embarrassment for the United States.
And is this an independent act on Israel's part or coordinated with the United States? And did we ask them to do this to give us the cover?
Well, now that's the right question to ask. And I, of course, don't know the answer to that question. And we could spin a lot of conspiracy theory about whether or not that's the case. And there's certainly people who have suggested it. I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a certain amount of sense that that might be the case.
Let me ask you to respond to one other story, Dateline London, from The Times, Sunday, yesterday. Some of America's most senior military commanders are prepared to resign if the White House orders a military strike against Iran. While those commanders aren't named, Hillary Mann, the National Security Council's main Iran expert who left in 2004, has raised some serious question. Mann fears the administration is seeking to provoke Iran into a reaction that could be used as an excuse for an attack. A British official said the U.S. Navy was well aware of the risks of confrontation and was being seriously careful in the Gulf. But to hear these Republican, you know, former administration officials willing to be quoted about this, that suggests there's very strong resistance at the Pentagon. Would you agree?
I think there's a division in the Pentagon on this between the ground forces, the Army and the Marines, who fear that they'll bear the brunt of this, because it's ground forces in Iraq that might bear the brunt in terms of Shiite uprisings in Iraq or elsewhere in the Gulf area, not the Air Force who will bear the brunt of it. So they're perfectly happy with this, I think. But certainly the Army will be concerned.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some phone calls. John in Carmel Valley, you're up first. Go right ahead, John.
I think the principal problem is one that's been growing ever since God knows when, the Second World War would probably be where I would peg it most of all, and that's the ever-growing power of the president to do anything and everything militarily. Every president we've had, I can't think of any exceptions, has used the military in a war situation and gotten away with it, where they simply engage in it, and then it's announced later that we've done this, and it's almost like, what are you going to do about it? And if you have any patriotism, you're going to go right ahead and approve even more action. So I think what we have to do above all is stop this, irregardless of what we end up doing about Bush, because I'd be the first to admit that he has given us, maybe to our advantage, finally what we needed is such an obvious example of how this has gotten out of hand.
All right, Professor?
Well, I could hardly disagree with your caller, because I think that there's a lot of evidence for that. I think President Bush in particular has abused the power of the presidency to engage in military operations. You know, the Constitution says that Congress has the power to declare war, and we haven't seen Congress using that power for a very long time.
Let's take one more call before we run out of time here. Jake in Arcata, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter, be real quick. It seems to me that the Bush and Blair governments are, like usual, lying about Iraq. You know, Dick Cheney is saying the reason the British troops are being pulled out is because it's a great success story. But, in fact, what's going to happen as soon as the Air Force starts to bomb Iran, Iranian troops are going to roll through Basra, and any British troops left in that city are going to have a very difficult time getting out alive. I think that's the real reason Tony Blair is pulling the troops out of Iraq.
All right. Professor?
I don't have an opinion on that. I frankly don't think that the Iranians are going to respond in a conventional attack. I think they're going to respond in unconventional forms of warfare through spurring the Shiite militias in Iraq to erupt by sabotage, by blowing up oil wells throughout the Persian Gulf.
What about opportunities like, freelance attacks on Saudi Arabia or Kuwait?
Well, that's what I worry about, truly. I worry about attacks on American soldiers in Baghdad, and I worry about the threat to American soldiers. That's why I think this is so criminal.
Mm-hmm. Michael T. Clair, thank you for joining us today. We could talk for hours, and we may consult with you again soon.
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you very much, sir. Read him at tomdispatch.com. Coming up next, Raed Jarar, an Iraqi from Global Exchange, and Antonio Yuhas talk about the new Iraqi oil law, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored. Well, we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's a big deal in more ways than one.
A huge corporate takeover and environmental groups love it. I'm Dan Ravine.
Who says nothing lasts forever? Well, the Postal Service is proposing to introduce a stance that will do just that.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. There's a lot of green in the deal to acquire TXU, the largest producer of electricity in Texas. Enough green to make it the biggest private buyout in U.S. corporate history. But as CBS News correspondent Dan Revive reports, environmentalists are also seeing green.
They've been in touch with the investors that are paying $32 billion, and they like what this big money group is saying.
Last week's TXU was a company that really was moving in the wrong direction on all fronts.
David Hawkins at the Natural Resources Defense Council says the new owners promised to cancel most of the coal-fired power plants that environmentalists condemn and take other steps to combat global warming. Other big utilities, including Duke Energy and Florida Power and Light, have made similar pledges. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The buyers also proposed to cut electric rates by 10%. NASA scientist James Hansen, who's been sounding the alarm about global warming, today called for a moratorium on building coal-fired power plants. The governors of five western states, Arizona, California, New Mexico, Oregon, and Washington, have agreed to cooperate on measures to reduce greenhouse gases. They say their region suffers some of the worst effects of global warming, droughts, and wildfires. Now this.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children. I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Would you be willing to buy a lot of stamps now, hundreds or even thousands, as a hedge against postal rate increases later? That's the idea behind a forever stamp proposed by the Postal Service. This is spokesman Mark Saunders.
You would buy the forever stamp at the current first-class rate, and you can use it any time you put it on an envelope, any time in the future, regardless of how often rates change.
You could even leave leftover stamps to your children or grandchildren. Right now, the Postal Service wants to raise the price of a first-class stamp by 3 cents. Today, the Postal Regulatory Commission recommended a 2-cent hike. A new health study debunks the notion that garlic can help lower your bad cholesterol. Christopher Gardner of the Stanford Prevention Research Center says it just doesn't work.
Neither the fresh garlic nor a dried powdered garlic supplement nor an aged garlic extract lowered LDL cholesterol over 6 months in people that had moderately elevated cholesterol.
Gardner says other claims for garlic, that it strengthens the immune system and even fights cancer, also need to be put to the test. Iraq's Shiite Vice President Adel Abdul Mahdi was wounded today. 6 people were killed when a bomb exploded during a ceremony. And the President of Iraq is undergoing medical treatment outside the country.
I'm Kristen Gillespie in Amman. Hospital sources tell me that Iraqi President Jalal Talabani had a minor stroke yesterday. He was flown last night into Amman, where they did a catheterization procedure and found that the Iraqi president had 3 blocked arteries. They've reportedly put in 3 stents, and Talabani is in the intensive care unit right now.
U.S. military officials in Baghdad say they've discovered a factory that made sophisticated roadside bombs from components made in Iran. From Detroit, WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports Volkswagen of America is recalling 790,000 cars.
The problem is with the brake lights. In some cases, they don't light, and others, they just stay on. Either way, it could confuse other drivers and cause a crash. There have also been some unique cases where the brake light problem affected the shift interlock, preventing the car from even shifting out of park.
The final resting place of Anna Nicole Smith is still not resolved. The attorney representing her infant daughter wants Smith buried in the Bahamas next to her son Daniel. But today, a Florida appeals court blocked that, pending a challenge from Smith's mother, who wants the burial in Texas. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'd never gone through commercial real estate experiences before, and there was a lot I did not understand.
I bring my knowledge and my background and my experience to the table.
Our realtor was able to really hone in, and that's when we found our space.
Working with my realtor saved me a lot more than money. It saved me time. It saved me aggravation.
Work with a realtor, someone who knows the commercial real estate market and can guide you through the process. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Definitely a smart business decision to use the realtor.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner. It's a rainy Monday in Frisco. I hope there's sunshine wherever you happen to be. And if you're listening on our affiliate KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, I want to let you know there's some changes in the wind there. I'm not too happy about them, actually. The plan involves moving the Peter B. Collins Show to a late-night delayed broadcast position. And listeners inform me that KPHX is already running what we call promos about the change, due to take effect a week from today. And personally, I object. And if you'd like to object as well, I invite you to send me an email and send one to the radio station copying me. And we're doing what we can to get them to reconsider that decision. So if you'd like to weigh in, I'd appreciate any support you'd like to offer. You can email B. Foster, that's Billy Foster, B-F-O-S-T-E-R, at AAPHX.com. And copy me, Peter B. Collins. It's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. I got to get that right. So the email at the radio station is bfoster at AAPHX, and mine, Peter at PeterBCollins.com. And I don't have time to acknowledge every email I've gotten. My box has been flooded, but I deeply appreciate everybody who's taken the time to express themselves. We'll do our best, and this show will go on. If you're a Phoenix listener and next week you can't find us on your AM radio dial, go to PeterBCollins.com and you'll find links there to our live stream. And I'm working to expand our streaming capabilities to deal with any influx of listeners from the Nova M stream. This hour, we're going to talk about developments in Iraq, and in particular, the new oil-sharing agreement. Now, this is something that's been discussed for many years, and people who believe that the U.S. went into Iraq for the oil in some fashion link it to the Baker-Hamilton Report's call for a revision of the oil-sharing arrangement. And those like Senator Biden, who support partitioning Iraq, say that an oil-sharing agreement is essential to being able to isolate these conflicting parties in the sectarian war that Bush still can't figure out if it's a civil war or not, and that sharing of these revenues would be a critical way to federalize the nation of Iraq into at least three zones based around ethnic and religious identity, and that in order to make that work because of the inequalities of the population distribution, well, this is the magic bullet that would permit the Sunnis to stop fighting the Shiites because they would get their fair share of oil revenues. And I'm not leaving the Kurds out of the equation, but that, I think, is the major discussion in Baghdad. We have two experts joining us to comment on this. Ra'ed Jarar has been on our program before. He's the Iraq Project Director with Global Exchange. Ra'ed, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and these are critical issues. I'm happy to have your input. Also with us is Antonio Yuhas, who's been on our program before, the Ida Tarbell Fellow at Oil Change International, also a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, former project director at the International Forum on Globalization, and her recent book is powerful, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. Antonio, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. Good afternoon.
Well, thanks to both of you. Let me turn first to Ra'ed, because I understand from a recent broadcast of Democracy Now! That you actually obtained a copy, it's a 30-plus page document, of the draft proposal being reviewed by the Iraqi parliament. Tell us a little bit about this document and who in the parliament currently supports it, Ra'ed.
I didn't really obtain it. I just found it online. There are some Iraqi oil experts who leaked the copy to some Iraqi websites, and then I found it there and I translated it to English because the leaked copy was in Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
People who are supporting the new oil law, in fact, they are not just supporting it, they are the people who wrote it and made the major changes in it, are mostly the influential separatist leaders who are controlling and monopolizing powers in the Iraqi government. These include majorly some Shia and Kurdish separatist leaders like Al-Hakim of Skiri, the Prime Minister Al-Maliki of Al-Dawa Party, and the Iraqi President Talbani and his other Kurdish, partner Barzani. They are the ones who received the English version of the law that was written by the American administration and sent to Iraq, translated and sent to Iraq. And they made some changes on it under their power. And I think the person who was mostly in charge of doing the changes is someone in the Ministry of Oil, the Iraqi Ministry of Oil, in collaboration with some people from the Kurdistan Ministry of Oil.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so those are some of the players. Are the Sunnis involved in these negotiations over the oil plan?
Yeah, they are supposedly informed, but what's actually happening when you see what's happening in the Iraqi parliament, the real tension that is happening and the real grouping is not just sectarian. Because when you look at the separatist leaders, you can find Sunnis and Shia and Kurds among the separatist leaders. And when you look at the nationalists who are against the law and against splitting Iraq and against having the coalition troops in Iraq, the nationalists have Sunnis and Shia and even Kurds and Turkmen and Christians among them. So when you look, when you take a close look at the Iraqi parliament, you can feel that this the differences that are happening and the grouping that is happening inside the parliament is more political based than it is sectarian based.
Okay. Antonio Juhas, what would you like to add to this so far?
Well, as you said in the introduction, this law is really the smoking gun that demonstrates that this was a war fought for oil. And while the law is being portrayed aggressively by the Bush administration in the public as a means of creating calm in Iraq, what it really is a sell-off of Iraq's oil to foreign oil companies, and they're buying off the Iraqis by giving the sectarian leaders this movement towards regional control, while at the same time buying off the Sunni by giving a level of centralized control. It's a sort of magical balance that they've created, which is essentially the oil company changes from a nationalized oil system to an all-but-privatized one, in which foreign oil companies, and in particular American and British oil companies that were literally shut out of Iraq except for marketing contracts, will now suddenly be first in line for literally owning Iraqi oil under the ground, and the vast majority of Iraq's oil would be opened up to them for control of Iraq's oil. And in order to achieve this end, getting U.S. corporations really unprecedented contracts for owning Iraqi oil, they are creating a new panel, the Iraqi Federal Oil and Gas Council, which would have ultimate control over the contracts in the central government, but a tremendous amount of regional negotiating authority for the Shia and the Kurds. However, the oil will be distributed from the central government based on population, not based on ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
So from the position of the powers that be, meaning the al-Maliki government, the strongest sectarian forces, and the Bush administration and its corporate allies, the oil law is a big win. For Iraqi economic development and stability and security, it's a big loss.
Mm-hmm. Raed, just about a minute till our break. Is there anything you'd like to add to Antonia's description of the package to date?
Yeah, I agree completely with what Antonia had to say, and I even want to add that the way that the law is being portrayed by the administration as if the law will distribute, the oil equally to Iraqis. In fact, this is what's happening now. Now the oil is being distributed equally to Iraqis, and this law will change the current situation of this equal distribution to a different stage where people who can take decisions about this distribution and change the distribution in the future will not be all Iraqis. It will give the decision-making process to a number of Iraqis from some selected Iraqi governorates, and it will open the doors for these all distribution laws to be changed in the future without consulting with all of different Iraqi factions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're going to take a break and continue with Raed Jarar and Antonio Juhas. One of the things that I understand from this proposed oil-sharing arrangement in Iraq is that it would do something the U.S. has long wanted, keep Iraq out of OPEC. We'll talk about that and more as we continue. If you have a question or comment for our guests who know more than I do, give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
And happy Monday, everybody. Let's take a look at your afternoon commute here. We do have a problem working in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 before the Lexington Reservoir. Heads up for a disabled vehicle. It's actually a stalled car. It's on the right shoulder. For some reason, a lot of folks slowing down to check out that activity there. In Salinas, Highway 156 and Oak Hills Drive, we have a disabled vehicle. It's blocking one of the lanes. CHP now on the way to the scene there. Quick advisory that we do have Highway 9 in Santa Cruz and Encinal. Construction until 7 o'clock tonight. One-way traffic controls. Again, this is Monday through Thursday from 9 to 3 a.m. But they say they're going to be there about 7 o'clock tonight. Chevy's whole enchilada, fresh species, just $10.99. Choose from five fresh enchiladas like chipotle, chicken, or zesty beef. All made from scratch, plus a super salad for just $10.99.
The Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 21 minutes after the hour. We continue our discussion of the plan to distribute Iraq's oil resources and the profits derived from them. Very controversial stuff, and it appears to be loaded in favor of U.S. interests. Isn't that a shocker? Raed Jarar, as we mentioned, is Global Exchange's Iraq Project Director. He's been on our program before, as has Antonia Juhas. Her latest book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. Raed, I wanted to follow up on what I mentioned just before the break. As this is described, it would keep Iraq out of OPEC, which is something that advances U.S. interest to try to break up their oil cartel, but is not necessarily in the best interests of the Iraqi people.
We were discussing this, me and Antonio were talking about this particular point, because one of the articles is extremely ambiguous when it comes to dealing with the Iraqi oil production limit. It doesn't give any mechanisms. It doesn't say who is in charge of this. So in a way, it kind of doesn't say who from the Iraqi government can put these limits, on the one hand. And on the other hand, there are more clear parts in the law that gives the foreign companies or the investment companies the right to decide the limits by themselves, because indirectly the foreign companies will be owning the law. It's true that, like, theoretically the law is not privatized,
mm-hmm.
But it's not privatized as long as it's inside the, you know, it's not produced. But as soon
the mechanism is a PSA, the production sharing agreement, which essentially gives control to an oil company without transferring title. Do I have that right?
In case the production sharing agreements were confirmed by the Iraqi Federal Gas and Oil Council, the thing is that this law opens the doors for the Iraqi Federal Gas and Oil Council to legalize PSAs. It doesn't put any limitations from that. So mm-hmm. this Federal Council will be in charge of legalizing what's called model contracts. And now the biggest irony is that this Federal Council will have representatives from the foreign companies themselves sitting on the board of this Federal Council, deciding what kind of contracts should be dealt with and approving their own contracts. At the same time, Iraqis from, let's say, Al-Anbar province or Baghdad or Diyala, provinces that produce less than 150,000 barrels a day, mm-hmm. will not have the chance to sit on the Federal Council of their own country to decide what will be happening. So you can see how that, like, you know, how the setting is not fair, and how if actually this law was created to support the civil peace in Iraq or put all of the Iraqi voices together, there are so many other ways to support these things, including keeping the current law active.
Well, this appears based on the winning formula for Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force, which is that Big Oil knows what's best for Big Oil, and we don't have any business butting into their business. Antonia?
First of all, just to clarify, on the question of OPEC, just to be clear, the law does not say that Iraq will not be a member of OPEC. What it does say is that, first of all, foreign companies will be invited in to sign exploration and production contracts. First of all, just that premise is fairly unprecedented in the Middle East, that they will explore for and produce the nation's oil. And they will do that on as yet undefined terms. We do know that the production sharing agreements that were called for in the previous version of the draft, that included 70% of the profits going to private companies and only 30% staying in Iraq, by name have been removed from this current version. However, the current version leaves the decision-making up to this new federal council of what type of contract will be used. The exploration and production contracts will give the foreign companies control of production in their fields. There's a clause in the law that attempts to sort of rein in that control. So just to make this clear, membership in OPEC, the basis of membership is that members of OPEC produce oil on a certain quota so that OPEC can control the amount of supply of oil on the market. If the individual government of a country cannot control how much oil is produced, but rather private companies control how much is produced and make decisions about that, then the government can't meet its OPEC quota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the law says that on a case-by-case basis, the government, undefined, can make decisions on the production level. This is, again, a very vague, very weak clause that makes it sound as if it would be very difficult for the government of Iraq to exercise control over the production of the individual companies.
Mm-hmm. Antonia, let me jump in. I just have a minute before our break, and Riyad has to leave, and then we're going to stay with you. So I'll ask you to expand on that a little bit more in the next segment.
Sure.
Riyad, I just wanted to ask you for a final comment, because the last time we spoke, your sources in Iraq had indicated that the Maliki government is on very shaky ground and could fall any day. Tell me what you think the current status is.
I mean, it's still as shaky as ever, and this surge is just extending the life of al-Maliki government. Al-Maliki government is using this surge as an excuse to attack any opposition, and, you know, it's just a fake. They are, like, stealing some time. Now, many Iraqis, in fact, in the parliament and outside the parliament who I have talked to, think that this surge is related And this, trying to push the life of the Maliki government a little bit longer, is related to passing the oil law.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the oil law, you can see how the writers and the authors of this oil law are splitting hairs. They wanted to pass as soon as possible. There is a part, the last article of the law.
Right, Riyad, I'm sorry, I got to stop there. I'm out of time. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk again soon. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live across the West Coast and all the way to Phoenix, Arizona, today.
Windmill for the night, love forever hand in hand. Take it all in on your stride, it is taking falling down. Love forever, love is free, love forever.
Thanks for all your emails in support of keeping Peter B. live in Phoenix. We're going to work on this, so drop me a note and make sure you copy Billy Foster, that's B. Foster, at aaphx.com, and my email, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. We continue our coverage of the debate in Iraq over a new oil law. As you may know, the Hamilton-Baker Commission, the Iraq study group that Bush has so roundly ignored on most of its proposals, embedded in there a series of proposals. I think there were 70 or 75 different bullet points in the Baker-Hamilton Commission report, but there were at least three or four of them that focused on the issues related to distribution of oil revenues and control over the oil resources in Iraq. With us and continuing is Antonia Juhas. Her book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time, is out and still very powerful stuff. I encourage you to pick that up. And Antonia, in previous conversations, you've made a couple of key points. One is that most of the Iraqi oil reserves are still undeveloped. As I understand, there's some 60 potential oil fields, and only about a third of them are active to date. Is that roughly correct?
No, there's more than 80 fields, known fields, but only 17 have even begun to be developed.
So it's about 25%.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And 80 fields with about 115 billion potential reserves. So that means that literally Iraq is a bonanza in waiting, as it's been referred to by the oil industry. The oil is cheap to get at, the cheapest in the world, about 60 cents a barrel to produce. And as of today, crude oil is selling at $61 a barrel. It's a tremendous return with almost no risk associated in terms of we know where the oil is. It mm-hmm. just hasn't been gotten out of the ground.
So the risk wouldn't be drilling dry holes. The risk is security
exactly.
on the ground right now.
Exactly.
And what is the flow like right now? They were doing about 2 billion, well, you tell me. I thought it was about 2 billion barrels a day before the war.
2.5 million barrels before the war. About
million, not billion. Thank
million,
you.
Million, yeah. Mm-hmm. And about 2 to 2.2 million since the invasion, which is certainly not Iraq's potential, but not bad, considering, as I said, either the return on an investment. So that means that the Iraqis are already pulling in $2 to $3 billion a year from oil profits, which is more than enough money, more than enough to keep them stable in their industry until there's stability on the ground. The point being, the urgency to pass this law has nothing to do with economic stability for Iraq. The urgency is all in the Bush White House and in U.S. corporate suites.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that they are able to take full advantage of a situation in which there are 150,000 American troops on the ground and the government is completely beholden, well, not completely, is beholden to this administration, and where it's not beholden to this administration, it's beholden to sectarian influences, and to get this law passed now while the government is in its weakest potential space, so that the oil companies can get just an unprecedented deal. And, I mean, that has to be the bottom line that listeners get from this. They're just mm-hmm. winning the store, and it's obscene.
Yeah. And, Antonia, this is just me talking, just an idea that I have, and I'll just acknowledge that I hit the wall in Econ 101. but I was in the Czech Republic in 1994, shortly after their so-called Velvet Revolution. And one of the things they did is they privatized state industry, and it was an imperfect system, but they passed out shares in the new privatized companies to average Czech citizens.
Mm.
And if our goal is really to form some sort of participatory democracy in Iraq, and I've always referred to that as a cruel hoax, but if that's our goal, wouldn't it make sense to empower Iraqi citizens instead of their leaders or groups or foreign oil cartels or foreign oil companies? Wouldn't it make sense to give the ownership of Iraqis' resources directly to actual Iraqis?
You know, I think that's a fine idea. My bottom line, though, is that it really is none of our business one way or the other. The only thing that currently makes it our business is that we occupy their nation because of an illegal invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means to me is that our responsibility as Americans is to do whatever we can to eliminate that external pressure. The pressure is our government, the pressure is our military, and the pressure is our corporations. And that our task is to eliminate the external pressure so that it is the Iraqis who make that decision. And right now, they have a nationalized oil system that prior to Saddam Hussein's reign, which is, of course, heavily propped up by the first Ronald Reagan and then George Bush Sr., the Iraqi oil industry was an amazing model throughout the early 70s of a system where the state controlled the system, produced at very high levels, and redistributed the wealth through the economy in the form of spectacular investments in infrastructure, in health, in education, really used its oil wealth in a way that almost no other government does, except for maybe now Venezuela, to work toward the benefit of the population. So they have the model themselves. They don't need our advice. They certainly don't need our influence. You know, our job is to get the pressure off.
I hear you, and ideally they would be listening to you. But I just offer this as an option because, you know, I'm trying to work with the stated goals of the Bush administration and say, okay, well, you know, how do we resolve this in a way that really empowers average Iraqis and leads to the potential to overcome the sectarian rivalries and the clear violence that has broken out amongst these groups?
Yeah, a tremendous amount of the violence, particularly directed at the oil industry, has been in opposition to the occupation and as a demonstration of resistance to the occupation. And that, frankly, the best thing for stability in Iraq, the best thing towards creating an environment in which the oil sector might be able to really get going would be for the occupation to end. And the evidence that the administration is not interested in stability is that it is, in my mind, committing the presence of U.S. troops to seeing this agenda fulfilled. So as you said before we took the break, the Cheney Energy Task Force began mapping out Iraq's oil industry 10 days into the Bush administration. They've been working on this plan at a minimum 10 days into the first Bush administration, and they are willing to, of course, sacrifice the lives of Iraqis and the lives of Americans and anyone else who gets in the way to see this agenda complete. Complete means that the law that is just passed out of the cabinet passes the parliament, and that they're predicting could happen as quickly as the beginning of March and as long as until May. So people across the United States and across the world are joining in a day of global action in resistance to the oil agenda to coincide with the four-year anniversary of the war on March 18th and 19th.
Okay, that's good to know. Sarge is on the line and wants to talk to us from Columbia, Mississippi. Hello, Sarge. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Antonia Juhas.
Thank you, Peter. I will put in a word what good it does to keep you at KPHX.
I'd love that. Thank you.
Let me say this. I've told the screener I meant Iraq. One thing that I want to alert everyone to is you never see pictures of these armored Humvees with the new armor. And they don't tell you how well tested they are. They don't tell you how they do against bombs. They don't tell you if the arm even stays on the body of the Humvee. There are questions about how the roofs are protected, the floors and the windows are protected. There are problems with the new frag kit 5. The trucks are so heavy they can't be safe to drive fast and hard to maneuver. And these questions aren't being asked, and the reason they're not being asked is because the answers aren't good. We're sending our troops into this thing, and all it is like your guest is saying, it is strictly about control of the oil. And we're just massacring our troops with this, and the best chance that they're going to have of straightening these problems up, the earliest, will be June. June, Peter.
Well, and Sarge, with all due respect, I don't quibble with what you just described about those Humvees, but the reason they need to be armored is that there's an occupation that we are in charge of, that we are identified as the cause of,
right?
And the local citizens want us the hell out of there. And if I came in with a bunch of stormtroopers from California and occupied Columbia, Mississippi, wouldn't you do something similar, whether my Humvee was up armored or not?
Yeah. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem that I'm pointing out here. This just goes to show you that we have no business there other than we're some selfish group centrist, the oil companies and the Bush administration and everyone that profits from this thing, because every one of them knows that these problems exist with those RMBs, and yet they're willing to continue on with this instead of get our troops out of there. And this is part of the problem. My source on this is actually someone that works in this field, okay? Mm-hmm. I can't identify who it is. But these are problems that they know about and they're ignoring because it doesn't fit into their agenda of occupation for the oil.
Let's get a comment from Antonia.
Most certainly. I mean, I think one of the problems that you're highlighting is that the Bush administration is aggressively sending troops to Iraq that are not combat ready, meaning they're equipment is not ready, the troops are not ready, they haven't been rested, they haven't been trained, and they're not appropriately equipped. And we're hearing all of this ridiculousness about the new weaponry that must exclusively come out of Iran, when this is evidence of weaponry that the administration has had and has actually made public at least a year and a half ago, and was supposedly creating equipment that would be able to respond to the Iranian IEDs. Our soldiers aren't being appropriately prepared to be on the ground, and they're only there to achieve one agenda, and that's the Bush administration's oil agenda.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Sarge. Now, Antonia, I just pulled up your webpage here at priceofoil.org, and that is the website of Oil Change International. When I first heard the name, I thought maybe they were the parent company of Jiffy Lube. But it reads here, the lead story, it says, Kurds to back Iraqi oil law. Iraq's hugely controversial oil law edged closer to approval after Kurds said some key issues had now been resolved between them and Baghdad. And this is citing Fuad Hussein, the head of the presidency board in Kurdistan. Are you aware of this?
Yes. So this is basically the last deal that was carved out between the Kurds, the al-Maliki government, and the U.S. government. Literally, it was U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad who helped us seal the final negotiation, which was to retain more control over the contracts by the Kurds. That's what they're eager to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Kurds agreed, and that's why the draft law was able to pass the parliament. The U.S. government's hands are not even hidden behind this process in Iraq. Condoleezza Rice, when she was there a week ago, said explicitly that this law needs to be passed. U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Khalilzad, is inside the negotiations.
Well, and you get the idea. Zal was told, you don't get to go to the U.N. in New York until you seal this deal, dude. Bremer was supposed to have fixed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now poor Khalilzad, I'm sure, is desperate to get out of there. And, you know, this is just my speculation, but, you know, of course, violence in Iraq is horrific daily, and we have at least 150 Iraqis who have died over the last 2 days. But one person in particular who was targeted, Abdel Mahdi, who was targeted for assassination, has been a lead advocate of this oil law. And I hope that isn't the reason why he was targeted, but we can, I assume, expect to see a tremendous amount of resistance among Iraqis that I would foresee that the violent resistance would only get worse if, and particularly targeted at U.S. soldiers and the American population, if, you know, the whole world talked about this war, everywhere except for in the United States, as a war for oil. If before the war, American companies are excluded from the Iraqi oil sector, and after the war, they control the oil sector, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And this is just a precursor to what could be very, very treacherous.
We're going to take a break and give you 3 minutes to use your powers of deduction, and then we'll return with Antonia Yuhas here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to join us, call toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And log on to our website at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to the news. KRSA 540.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie's Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie's Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie's Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
And let's take a look at traffic. So let's give you the very latest. Start off, tell you that Highway 17 looking good at this point. In fact, and no delays. But we do are getting word of a problem in Salinas, 156 at Oak Hills. Disabled vehicle blocking the lane there. CHP on scene. They're trying to move that off to the shoulder as we speak. Also, Pacheco Pass, 152 at Dinosaur Point. The right lane partially blocked because of a crash there. CHP also on scene. Want to mention a problem.
The Peter B. Collins Show. Free Speech Zone's coming up at the top of the next hour. We'll be taking your calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Those are the ground rules. We continue with Antonia Yuhas. Her last name is spelled J-U-H-A-S-Z, if you want to Google it. And you can find her book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time, at your favorite independent or online bookstore. And we're joined now by Robert in Phoenix. Hello, Robert. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but you're welcome.
I wanted you to take into consideration the Project for New American Century's directive. We must have a Pearl Harbor event, and that was written, I think, in 96 or 97 by Pearl, Wolfowitz, Crystal, and others that had a globalist military-industrial complex agenda as well, and needed and wanted some kind of event to precipitate American involvement in the long-term Middle East struggle.
Well, I am aware of that. Do you see that the PNAC plan is still in place, and you feel that the intentions toward Iran are part and parcel?
Absolutely, and obviously that works in congruence with oil and the big money that's with the oil thing. And, yeah, I think Iran is the next step, and I don't think things are going by accident or that they magically thought 100,000 troops could pacify an Islamic nation of 25, 26 million in Iraq, and that they, and not unlike Vietnam, they were almost fighting the war to lose, and now they have Iran as a scapegoat, so we have an excuse to go in there.
All right, let's get a comment from Antonia.
Absolutely. I focus extensively on the Project for the New American Century in my book, The Bush Agenda. I think clearly after Iraq, Iran has the third largest oil reserves in the world and a natural focus for those who are intent on expanding American empire, whether they're interested in greedy outcomes or not. They're certainly interested in power outcomes, and oil has a tremendous amount to do with power. You know, what I would say really quickly is that the good news is that there is something we can do about this. Your show is one of the few, Peter, that has addressed the oil law. The American public isn't aware of the oil law. They aren't aware of the oil grab, and we need to shine sunshine on the process. And March 18th and 19th, the four-year anniversary of the war, there'll be protests all across the country, including in the Bay Area, for those of you who are in our rainy San Francisco, where you and I are. And that information will be coming on our website soon, priceofoil.org. And there's also background information on my website, thebushagenda.org.
All right. Very good. Robert, did you have a follow-up, or is that it? Robert's gone. Thank you very much. Well, Antonia, on that note, what about the move of Paul Wolfowitz from one of the undersecretaries of the Pentagon, where he fudged the intelligence through the Office of Special Plans and is seen by those of us on this side of the equation as one of the people who was promoting the PNAC plan? They moved him over to the World Bank, and I keep scratching my bald head over that. Do you see a connection, or was that just a way to get him out of the way?
Well, it was certainly part of the administration's agenda to have greater control over the international institutions, with Bolton at the UN and Wolfowitz at the World Bank. But, of course, Wolfowitz being seen as a scapegoat on the war was part of his removal from his central position of power. But the World Bank, in the minds of literally the millions of people whose lives depend on the decisions of the World Bank and the decisions now of Paul Wolfowitz, is in no way a disempowering position. It's just a different level.
And I'm tight for time, so let me jump in.
Sure.
What do you make of the demotion accepted by Negroponte, moving from intelligence czar to carrying Condi's briefcase?
You know, clearly the architects of the war have been pushed out. There's very few of them left. And the old school folks are being pushed out, and that is a sign that the agenda isn't working. They are grabbing with their last grasp to hold on to Iraq, to get into Iran before they're kicked out. They're trying to make gestures by throwing out the old guard and bringing in the old guard with Baker and so forth. And it's, you know, they're in, the Bush administration is in a prime position to be completely dethorned. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Well, but they'll never get neocon free, will they?
Yeah, but they won't be around. So we have to get what we can but to end the war, to stop them from going into Iran, to create a space where Democrats can be empowered to actually take action, and where this agenda can be as far thrown off its focus, and Democrats can come into power. I'm certainly not one who thinks the Democrats are going to save the day, but they're going to give us a lot more room for peaceful action than any of the Bush adherents will. So.
Well, unfortunately, too much relies on the good intentions of a guy named Joey Lieberman from Connecticut. And I fear that any substantive move by the United States Senate will be derailed by him and could leave us stuck in this mode for a long time. Antonia, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate your contribution on this subject, and we'll do what we can to get the word out about this oil-sharing agreement.
Thanks very much. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, that's Antonia Juhas. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone, and I invite you to call with your comments on the issues we've been discussing or anything else that's in the news. The number's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's going to be a great Free Speech Zone next hour. Stay tuned on the Peter B. Collins Show.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. At $32 billion, the proposed sale of Texas utility TXU would be the largest private buyout in the history of American corporations. But CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports the plan outlined by the buyers makes it an even bigger deal for the environment.
They pledged to cancel TXU's plans to build 8 new coal-fired plants that would have generated tons of greenhouse gas emissions, reduce carbon emissions by 20%, and become the largest buyer of wind power in the country.
Coincidentally, a NASA scientist today called for a national moratorium on building coal-fired power plants.
More than half the electricity used in the U.S. is produced from coal, but coal has the highest uncontrolled carbon dioxide emission rate of any fuel and is the largest source of global warming pollution in the country. TXU says it will invest $400 million to improve energy efficiency. It's the new bottom line. Smart environmental choices equal good business.
The buyers also promised to save money for TXU's customers by cutting rates by 10%. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour is expected to announce tomorrow that Toyota will build a new SUV assembly plant in his state. Reportedly, the other contenders, Arkansas and Tennessee, have been notified that they didn't make the final cut. If it gets approval, the Postal Service wants to offer a new kind of stamp that would protect us from future rate increases.
You'll go in, you'll pay the price of a first-class stamp for really a stamp that's non-denominational and will be good into the future, even if the price of first-class postage goes up.
Dan Blair is chairman of the Postal Regulatory Commission, which today recommended a 2-cent increase in the price of first-class postage. The Postal Service wants a 3-cent hike. The jury is still out at the Scooter Libby trial, and as CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports, one juror is out for good.
3.5 days of deliberations have passed and still no verdict, and now only 11 jurors have to agree, not 12. An elderly art expert on the panel was dismissed after becoming exposed to information about the case. The judge decided not to call in an alternate, a move that would have meant starting deliberations from scratch.
Deliberations resume tomorrow. Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff is accused of lying to investigators about the leak that exposed CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports the mother of Anna Nicole Smith has gotten a Florida appeals court to block plans for her daughter to be buried in the Bahamas.
The appeals court agreed to hear Virgie Arthur's appeal for custody of her daughter's body. She wants to bury Smith in Texas, while Smith's boyfriend says she should be buried in the Bahamas next to her son. A probate judge awarded custody of Smith's remains to Richard Milstein. He's the guardian to Smith's daughter. That decision came down Friday, and Arthur appealed after Judge Larry Seidlin refused to request for a stay.
The Dow lost 15 points today. The Nasdaq down 10 points. This is CBS News.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. You may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Young people love cell phone features like cameras and text messaging. WTOP Radio's Eve Chen tried to find out if their parents are ready for ringtones.
That's what Warner Music Japan is hoping, marketing hits from the 70s and 80s to baby boomers. Not such a smash with those here.
I have a cell phone that I never turn on and I only use for emergencies.
Wouldn't appeal to me.
I don't like the songs on my cell phone. I just like the regular ring.
Some interest.
It might be fun. I don't know if I'd go out of my way to get one. I mean, I'm old, so.
Eve Chen for CBS News, Washington.
A Chinese businessman has an unusual help wanted ad on the internet. He wants a woman who'll pretend to be his mistress so his angry wife can beat her up, leaving the real mistress unscathed. Perhaps more unusual than the request is the response. More than 10 women have applied. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Your humble host is enjoying a sugar surge because Matt just gave me a brownie he baked yesterday. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, 888-5-PETER-B. Reading from the Gospel according to Grace Jones. She's taller than me, has more hair, and she can sing. And I play that song as a way of saying thank you, muchísimas gracias to our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, and some in other parts of the nation who have weighed in, sent emails to the management at radio station KPHX. Very proud to be on the air in Phoenix. We've been live there since October, made great connections with lots of listeners and activists in the area. And frankly, I'm very disappointed that the management has made a decision. They didn't really consult me. They just sent me a message, really, that they're planning to move the Peter B. Collins Show to a late night time slot, 10 p.m., where it won't be available to you live, and people in Arizona won't be able to call in and participate. And I want you to know that this is not personal. I don't have any gripe against another talk show host. My issue is that I want to keep doing this, and that there are very few independent progressive talk show hosts in this country. I don't work for Air America. I don't work for the Jones Network or for the company that owns Ed Schultz's show or the company that owns Stephanie Miller's show. I'm completely independent. And it's almost an endangered species, frankly, because it's very difficult to compete in a Clear Channel world where mega companies control this this communications form called radio. And I've been very proud of the work that we've done in Phoenix, and I frankly don't think we deserve to be shunted to the late night time period. And tons of listeners have sent emails to me. I don't have time to acknowledge each one, but I appreciate each and every one of you who has taken the time to send a message. And I'll give you the email addresses again here right now, and I'll mention it one more time before the end of the show. And you're invited to call in. If you want to mention this issue or offer a comment, you're welcome to do so. But I don't want to turn this into a wall-to-wall radiothon to keep Peter B. live. I think we've made the point, and I want you to make your points with station management. And if they will revisit the decision and make a change, I'll be very grateful. And if not, this show will go on in other markets and be available to you in Phoenix on the web. The place to stay in touch is peterbcollins.com. And we're working to expand our streaming capabilities in time for what we think is the change next week. Again, I haven't received a formal notification, as our contract would indicate. But what I'm hearing is that the station is planning to put a new program on, actually two new shows during this time period next week. And so if you want to weigh in, the person to contact at KPHX is Billy Foster. Billy sports only one L in Billy, if you want to be precise about it. And his email is bfoster, F-O-S-T-E-R, at aaphx.com. Send a copy to me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And I compiled a whole stack of them into a 23-page Word document today and emailed that off to the senior decision-makers, Sheldon and Anita Drobny, who control Nova M Radio. They're the judge and jury that we have to persuade that the Peter B. Collins Show is worth keeping live in this time period in Phoenix. So that's what I got to say about that. Lots of other issues we can talk about, and I welcome your calls. We discussed the issue related to the Washington Post, and one Libby juror has been dismissed from the jury pool. They're going to limp on with 11, and that could actually bode well for a conviction. That's what I want out of this, and I know Steve in Phoenix is hoping for a Libby acquittal party sometime very soon. But by bouncing this one juror, and the only clue we have is that on Valentine's Day, they all jurors decided to wear red T-shirts into the courtroom, except for this one woman who was dismissed today. Clearly not a team player. And again, if you want to win a conviction against Scooter Libby, maybe that is good news. But the bottom line for me is that the media shouldn't have, particularly the Washington Post, shouldn't have published that story a week ago at a time when the jury was just about to begin its deliberations. We also heard powerful information about the plans to share Iraq's oil with American oil companies and others. And I want to thank Ed Girard and Antonio Yuhas for a very informative hour that occurred just before this one. So that's what I've got to say. Let's go to the phones. And Jerry is on the line from Sacramento. Hello, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Nice to talk with you, and thanks for the email you sent. Yeah. Now, you dropped a note to me regarding Al Gore and the Academy Awards. He is the first former senator, former vice president, to my knowledge, who has ever won an Academy Award. And if you saw the Oscars last night, it was kind of cute because he was out there on stage and dramatically accepted the award, then reached into his pocket for a statement. I guess it was Leo DiCaprio who said, "Do you have anything you want to announce to an audience of a billion people?" And he started to read what appeared to be an announcement that he was running for presidency, and then the orchestra started to play him off the stage because his time was up. I thought it was very cute, and I take it to mean that Al Gore is pretty serious about not running for president next in the primaries next year. What do you think about that, Jerry?
Well, I think he's the most qualified person we have, and he understands the country. He understands the world. He's worked with different heads of different countries. And I think he's the only person that could bring us back together again in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have mixed feelings because I like Senator Senator. I met him when he was a senator. He had just published his book, Earth in the Balance, and I interviewed him on radio in San Francisco, and I found him to be a very nice man, very engaging, very well-informed. I give him high marks for the work that he's done on climate change, and my only objection to the Oscar is I don't want to encourage more documentaries that are actually based on PowerPoint.
Right.
But that aside, he is very capable. My point is that I think we need to move forward, Jerry, and I think that he is wisely choosing not to go backward and try to present himself as a candidate of the future. Part of it, I think, is practical, that he's been out of politics since 2001. He doesn't have a fundraising machine. He doesn't have a staff of people. His staff now runs a cable TV network called Current TV. And he's on the board of Apple and a couple of other major corporations. But I think that he and Tipper have made a conscious decision that their time in public life is behind them.
But we need him. I even worked together with him when I was in federal government and he was vice president. He reorganized the government. He went to all the different agencies. He worked together with them. He understands what goes on in the government, and he wanted the government to serve the people. And he could bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't think somebody like Hillary would do that. I don't think Barack Obama has the experience to do this, but he has.
But Jerry, to be fair, reorging the government is not the most important issue right now. The war in Iraq is,
and Al Gore. That. He's spoken out.
Yes, he has. He's been quite courageous, and he spoke up earlier than a lot of other people.
Right.
But again, he doesn't seem to be focused on that as a way to lead to a campaign. And I think that, unfortunately, as he has considered his options and so far decided not to jump in, that other people have gotten pretty far down the track. And I think Obama and Edwards, and Senator Clinton to some extent, are hogging the limelight there right now and also sucking up a lot of that campaign cash, which is very important.
Right, right. But he'd pull it right away if he'd come out and speak and say he'd take it. I mean, he's got the two websites where people keep trying to push him for it, too. So.
Right, yeah. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for emailing me. That's why I called you to come on and lay out your thoughts. And we're going to put this out to the Peter B. Collins Show Free Speech Zone listeners and see what they think about Al Gore.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Thank you, Jerry. Great to talk with you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. I welcome your calls this hour. All the lines are taken. Well, let me clear one. There's a line open for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And let's take a look at traffic on this Monday afternoon as you folks get home. Let's get you to your destination safely. Let's talk a little about what's happening in a place called Interlaken. And it's Green Valley at Paulson. It's a vehicle that spun out and went into a ditch. Good news, CHP is on scene to help those folks. So they're there when they need you. Or when you need them, I should say. Aptos, looks like in Larkin Valley, Monte Mar Avenue, the southbound ramp. We have a tree down now. It's partially blocking the lamp. Again, the folks at the CHP are already on scene. Also got to mention Castroville, 156 of Castroville Boulevard. Two vehicles reportedly blocking lane. And CHP is on the way to the scene there. This report brought to you by Chevy. Chevy's whole enchilada. Fresh fees for just $10.99. Choose from five fresh enchiladas like Chipotle chicken, zesty meat, all made from scratch, plus a super salad and an ice cream sundae for just $10.99. That's traffic.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speed zone, and I feel a panic attack coming on. Our in-depth undercover investigative reporter, Tommy Panic, may show up any time now. In the meantime, we're taking your calls. It's the free speed zone, and Deborah is first this segment from Phoenix. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Well, two things. I sent out my flurry of emails yesterday.
Thank you very much. It was a very busy weekend in my inbox.
Yeah, well, and I got two or three responses from Anita.
Mm-hmm.
My last email, I gave her my ideal lineup. But anyway, when you mentioned Joe Lieberman, it reminded me of something that I thought earlier. If he does go Republican, and if by some miracle some Republican would become a Democrat, who do you think that Republican would be?
Wow. It's really hard to say because I don't have in-depth knowledge of most of the Republicans in the Senate. I would have to think that it's one of the seven who have come forward so far. Gordon Smith
right.
of Oregon seems to be a candidate. Chuck Hagel seems to be very intent on certainly remaining in his party and disagreeing with his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to say because up till this point, the Republicans have been so disciplined that you really couldn't identify somebody who could possibly flip.
Well, and I was wondering, too, whose state would, you know, maybe accept that.
Right.
I don't know.
It's very hard, you know, to convert in the current climate to imagine that somebody would jump out of the Republican Party the way Jim Jeffords of Vermont did and either become an independent or caucus with the Democrats. I would have to scratch my head and say I don't know that there's an obvious potential there.
Well, wouldn't it be great if Lieberman even thought or knew that somebody was thinking seriously about it? Because, you know, then he would maybe not have as much of a reason. And have you found out, can Connecticut do a recall against him if he doesn't?
I don't think they have the same setup as Arizona, not to my knowledge. I'll put it that way. Now, Deborah, let me ask you one. What do you think about Al Gore and our friend Jerry, who thinks that he's the answer?
Well, I'm kind of with you. I want to see him devoted completely to the climate change problem. Like I said before, I mean, it'd be great if they could create a special position for him in the government that, you know, he would be able to work on that full time.
Yeah.
But I don't see him as running as president. I just still love John Edwards. I saw him on Face the Nation. And I just think he's great. I feel like he's very truthful.
I don't love him, but I respect him. I think that his message is very strong. I think he suffers from being too scripted. I'd like to see him, you know, relax a little bit and
even
be.
If John Edwards isn't scripted.
He often is. He says the same thing over and over again.
Well, but I think he's thought it through in detail.
Right. No, he's kind of a lawyer who likes to argue his position, and that is his background. My other issue about Edwards is he's got to show us in the primaries that he can carry one or more southern states.
Yeah,
and then I'll sit up and say, okay.
That's true.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay.
Dave is next from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, for some time now, a number of us have been visiting our Democratic congressman's field office here. And he's introduced a resolution, one of the temporary non-binding resolutions that will serve no purpose. It sounds like initially it's going to try to be a means to get us out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But as you study it, it's really a way that they can be made to stay there for an awful long time. And I'm really trying to understand, where is this man coming from? A lot of people think he's really a genuinely good human being. I wonder, has he been fed a line, or is it really that he knows that this war is totally criminal, that it's strictly for the big bucks of greedy special corporate interest, and still wants to be a part of it for some rewards that he's receiving? Huh?
Well, I pardon me, Dave. I've read a few things that suggest that Mike Thompson is on the right side of this, and I'm having a little hard time, defining the difference between spin and his strong feelings. He did vote against the original authorization to go into Iraq, and I give him credit for that. He's a blue dog. I didn't expect that from him. As to the nuances of his position right now, it's hard to say. Dave, we have reached out to his office and invited Mike Thompson on the program, and I hope he'll come on, and when he does, I would invite your call, and you can put it to him point blank.
Boy, well, I would certainly hope to do that. We do so in the field office every day, every Monday.
Yeah, and Dave, we're also working on Dennis Kucinich. I spoke to one of his campaign people today, and we're hopeful that we're going to get him on the program later this week.
Oh, great. I never question that man's motivations.
Yep, he's solid. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, Leonard in Glendale, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter, thank you. I'm not going to say thank you for taking my call.
Good, you're learning.
I'm learning slowly, yeah. I was just going to say on Iraq and all of that. I mean, it, basically, a lot of this stuff is in history. I mean, I've been telling friends, I've been slowly getting through The Rights of Man by Thomas Paine, and I went through, like, you know, in the 70th round, 73rd page, I came upon how he said the old European monarchs, it's the oldest gimmick in the world to get different countries to fight each other because they wanted to always raise money. It wasn't that they wanted to raise taxes to help support wars, but they wanted to raise wars to get more tax money. It's a racket, you know, it's just a racket. And then in the Federalist Papers, the same thing. Even Alexander Hamilton, a man is, you know, who actually at one point thought we should have maybe have a king, make a president almost as powerful as a king, he actually kind of came out, it seems to me, with the other people that wrote it, that war is a gimmick, and that's what this is. And it's just really disheartening. But for those people out there who say soldiers, you know, should just take their orders and not have any input at all, I disagree totally. Yes, I mean, we have to have a disciplined military, but if they just follow the orders and go by the Nuremberg defense, then we're in real trouble.
Leonard,
our soldiers are not cattle.
Are you heartened by this story I cited earlier today from the London Times? U.S. generals will quit if Bush orders Iran attack?
I'm glad you brought it up. I did see that. Yes, now I'll believe it when I see it. Unfortunately, a lot of the officers I've seen, unlike Lieutenant Utada, are waiting till they retire. And by the way,
I'm sorry, I just wanted to mention, because I haven't so far today, the Army has filed new court-martial charges against Lieutenant Utada. They're not honoring the double jeopardy claim of his attorney.
Despicable. They are despicable. Anything that Central Command in Iraq or any of our highest commanders are not telling you, they have lied to us so repeatedly now. The American people are justified in not even giving them the credibility or the legitimacy of the truth. And before I leave you, Peter, you and Jeff Farias and people like Dr. Mike, I mean, and I like Tom Hartman. He will take people on the air, but you are the few people that I know that people, not just me with my big mouth, but other people from all around this country can call into, and even when they disagree with you, you will give them time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say, I'm not trying to attack other people on certain progressive stations, but the problem is I hear them, and they seem to be appealing to the limousine liberals, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't, and that's the problem. The Democratic Party, if they want to appeal to the grassroots, the people that give them their power, they need to stop.
Leonard, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. My limo's out front, too. Got to go. Thanks for your call.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
So it means our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. We're taking your calls in the free speed zone. Lines available. If you have a comment you want to share with our massive audience, 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. 1-888-5-PETER-B. Yeah, Tom Cruise was there at the Oscars last night. He didn't have a couch to jump. And didn't he present the L. Ron Hubbard Lifetime Cryogenic Achievement Award? Well, let's get more on the Oscars. Our own Tommy Panic. The Peter B. Collins Show's in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter checks in right now from Hollywood. Hello, Tommy.
How are you, Peter?
I'm doing okay today. How about you?
Excellent, excellent. I'm reporting from the red carpet. Actually, I'm near the red carpet. It's rolled up in a truck, and of course, I'm on the no-fly list, so I will be jumping on this truck myself and riding down to Orange County. Going to be having some plastic surgery to change my appearance for some covert undercover work I've got coming up.
Really?
That should be interesting, but I am still wearing the blue sequin tux that I donned for Sunday night's festivities. All sorts of stories unfolding here, from Scorsese finally getting some hardware to Forrest Whitaker, loved him in Fast Times, winning for his portrayal of the brutal dictator Idi Amin. You kind of wonder if down the road there won't be a similar portrayal of our own very unpredictable leader. The Butcher of Baghdad might be a good title, but his reign of terror could soon expand beyond Iraq. I know you've been talking about that. And, you know, there's very little originality in Hollywood. That's often been said. And I was thinking about this a little bit. There's also very little originality in politics. I mean, you go back 20 years and it's been a Bush or a Clinton in the White House with a much publicized possibility of another Clinton. And I was here for the fun, but also following the man, more and more people are beginning to believe and hope will be the Democratic candidate. I'm talking about Al Gore, of course.
Right.
A lot of people wondering if this could have been the former VP and the true winner of the 2000 election's foray into the race for the Democratic nomination. He's got the Oscar. He's got a book tour coming up. He could win the Nobel Peace Prize in October. This guy can campaign without really campaigning. Doesn't have to defend himself for a war vote. As it is, you've got the rest of them really going at it. I mean, you've got Hillary Clinton, of course. Can you trust a woman who always wears a pantsuit, hoping to be the first woman in the Oval Office, if we don't count the ones that were blowing her husband in the 90s? But wait, on that front, woman president, you've got Nancy Pelosi who could get there first. I mean, if we get the proper investigation, the indictments, and finally impeachment of number 43, and if his buttermilk-drinking 9/11 mastermind VP goes with him, we could be saying President Pelosi. And, of course, there's Barack Obama, rhymes with Osama, with the middle name Hussein. I know what you're thinking. That whole thought process is kind of counterproductive and immature. This is America, though, the land where most of us sadly believe Iraq had something to do with 9/11. I think that name's going to cost him. And what does that leave us with? You've got the former ambulance chaser John Edwards with his hair and zillions of dollars. Bill Richardson, he's got a pretty good head of hair, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as much money. And then you got a bunch of guys no one's ever heard of, and they don't have a prayer of raising the requisite cash to be heard of. And, I mean, after the current administration bombs Iran, we need a president with some experience, and that ain't Denis Kucinich. And Al Gore, let's face it, this guy's become quite likable. When you get right down to it, he might actually lack the ego and the desire to call 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue home. I mean, why would he want to stop hanging out with Hollywood types? He's driving around with DiCaprio and his Prius.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a pretty good time.
That's a stretch Prius, right?
I think it might be a stretch. But think about it. President Al Gore, a lot of people think that sounds nice, but when you get down to it, it would have sounded a lot better 7 years ago. I mean, prior to the controlled demolition of those tall buildings in New York, the Patriot Act, the attack of brown people in the Middle East. But really, let's face it, whoever the candidate is will win the right to potentially inherit the greatest mess in American history. But, Peter, I got to hop on this truck, get out of the sequins, and psych myself up to go under the knife. So I will talk to you soon.
Send me a digital photo of your altered appearance so I'll recognize you the next time you show up asking for money.
Before and after. I'll see what I can do.
All right, Tommy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fascinating analysis from our own Tommy Panic, believe it or don't. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. Chris in Salinas, you're next. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the Al Gore. You know, I have to agree with you that I don't believe he should run for president, and I doubt very seriously he will. But when Denis Kucinich sets up his cabinet, I do believe that he should make Al Gore either Secretary of State or maybe Secretary of the Interior, and I think the country would be served well in that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to see Al Gore provide his counsel and wisdom to our government. I think that he could be a major contributor. But I think that he sees something that apparently Hillary can't, and that is that we are a country that moves relentlessly forward. And he recognizes that he has certain baggage. And if he ran, it would cause us to have to relive either the 2000 election or some of the darker aspects of the 8 years of the Clinton administration that preceded it. And I think Gore smartly says, why subject myself and the American electorate to that? Because there are capable people who have put themselves forward to run. And let's see what shakes out here. And I'm content to let that process go forward. I don't need to identify my favorite candidate today. I'm willing to wait until, moved-up California primary takes place in the first week of February next year. Maybe we're actually going to have a role in picking the next president instead of a bunch of people, you know, eating hot dogs in Iowa.
Well, you bring up a good... you bring up a question here. We're not getting a good picture of all the candidates, though. You know, I wanted to talk about that. I mean, we have a system right now where they're pushing Hillary and Obama like there's no other candidates out there. Even Vilsack, did I say that right?
It's just Vilsack, no I in
there. Vilsack, mm-hmm. He dropped out, yet he was the head of the DLC at one point, or still is.
And he was.
If he can't run raise the money, where's the money really coming from?
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, I wish we had a fully public financed election system in this country because I heard Vilsack speak last year in Washington. I can't say I was knocked over by the guy, but he's sincere, he's experienced, and, you know, he has a decent middle-of-the-road Democratic message. I think it deserves to be heard. I think that people deserve to, you know, be able to look at him alongside the front runners designated by the media and make an honest evaluation. Unfortunately, our system doesn't work that way, Chris.
Yeah, well, I wasn't pushing for Vilsack at all because of his DLC ties.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe Denis Kucinich could be a candidate if he were given a platform to address the people with his ideas that he has complete, vision written down, you know, and a plan that's out there that he's not deviated from since 04 or
well,
since 02.
I think that particularly at this stage that the networks and the print media owe us a fair look and coverage of each of these candidates. They shouldn't be narrowing the field simply based on name ID of Clinton, Edwards, and Obama. And Last week, I want to mention this one more time. I found myself, and a couple of listeners straightened me out, I kind of fell into that trap of, you know, considering only the front runners as we were talking about healthcare issues. And Rick Romero in Phoenix, he sent me an email along with somebody else saying, hey, Kucinich has had a single-payer plan out there that's completely fleshed out, and it's an actual bill. It's not just a proposal being floated by Edwards or a vague notion by Obama or, you know, incrementalism promoted by Senator Clinton. So, you know, it happened to me, and I'm grateful to listeners who nudged me and said, hey, dude, what about Kucinich? So we've reached out to him, and as I explained, we're hoping to have Congressman Kucinich from Cleveland on the program later this week.
All right, you take it easy, Peter. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
there you go again. Ben and Salinas, howdy.
Peter.
Hi.
You know what, sir? I think we're being scammed, and this is the reason I'm saying that, because we're 2 years out from this election. We're going to be so numb and so tired of all this, did he or didn't she, is Obama black enough, is Hillary got enough brass there, all of these issues. And while Congress and the media are looking into those issues, the kind of investigation, the Iraq, the upcoming Third World War in Iran, what's going on with our Treasury, Social Security, Medicare, they're not investigating none of those. And these America haters, the republics, you know, the ones that hate America, they don't want this thing getting the kind of investigation it needs to have a true and just, equitable outcome, not totally drying up the Social Security system and looting the Treasury to where they can claim they can no longer afford to help people. Bush doesn't care. These wealthy people, they don't care that there will be thousands under this new thing called the Deficit Reduction Act. You know how many elderly people are going to lose their Medicare and Social Security because of that act to pay the interest on the bill that we owe to China? They're sending the jobs to China. Now they're sending old people security to China. And we call them friends and friends. And we're getting, is Obama, is it Hillary?
Mm-hmm.
I like what Kucinich has to say, sir.
Yeah.
But why do these America haters let it come to the fore? And why do these Bush haters want to stop this man from getting the kind of examination he needs so he can be sent to Switzerland, up to The Hague where he belongs? Why are they such America haters? And why are they such Bush haters?
Thank you, Ben.
Good morning.
I always appreciate your comments. Ben raised a couple of things in there that came up in my conversation with Paul Waldman from Media Matters at the beginning of the show today. And that is, you can blame the media because, after all, it was Maureen Dowd who asked provocative questions of David Geffen and got him to make these juicy quotes that were then, used to criticize Hillary and Bill Clinton. And so it started with the media. And I think they bear some responsibility. But then we saw both campaigns, but most particularly the Clinton campaign, go into hardball mode. And, you know, within, 12 hours of the publication of this column, Howard Wolfson was going ballistic. And in a take-no-prisoners manner that Steve Pizzo, we quoted last week on the show, described as a Tom DeLay-type tactic, Wolfson, you know, went really hard on this, and the idea is that the Clintons seem to believe that criticism of them is off limits, and that they can push back on any Democrat from David Geffen to Barack Obama who dares to challenge these two people. And while what Geffen talked about, you know, whether Bill Clinton will behave, and the ambition of Hillary Clinton, and the ease with which both of them can lie, those are all issues that I believe are fair game and are out there. And if they're not dealt with in the primary, the Republicans are just going to, you know, hang out there and wait for Hillary to get the nomination and then unload on her. And how's she going to fight back against them without looking brittle, defensive, and, well, guilty as charged? So I believe that, yes, the media started this, and then the campaigns, mostly on the Clinton side, but not excluding the Obama side, they kept that story alive for another 3 days. And I hope this is not, you know, a no-holds-barred approach to the campaign for 08 already underway, but I'm afraid it is. More of your calls coming up in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company, meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day, we're owner-operated, and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends, just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government. And so,
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. And next we go to Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hello, Brian. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Good evening, Peter. Why don't we just make it the Jeff and Peter Show?
Well, that's not my call.
Okay, all right. I'll leave it at that. About the Iran buildup, I just finished reading Mr. Hirsch's latest piece in the New Yorker, Seymour Hirsch.
And let's mention that people can find it if you don't subscribe to the New Yorker for the cartoons. You can read the article at truthout.org. It was posted on Saturday.
Yes, and I think some of the most interesting revelations, Mr. Hirsch, he's always got some interesting information to add to things. We're towards the end of the piece there. He spoke about Nasrallah and the leader of the Hezbollah in the Shia leader in Lebanon.
That's close, Nasrallah.
Nasrallah, okay. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And the fact is that it looks like he may have to be the one that's going to protect the Christian minority from the Sunni extremist in Lebanon. It may be the Hezbollah group that would be doing that, according to Robert Baer, the CIA agent in Lebanon, an expert on the area. And He's also they went on to John Negroponte. Negroponte wanted to be the undersecretary to the Condoleezza Rice, her assistant, because he wanted to finally do something good, because he believes he can influence the government in a positive way, as the way he put it. And he also says that he's had problems with his Rube Goldberg policy contraption for fixing the Middle East. That's John Negroponte, and that's about as far right as you can get in the Reagan the Bush administration. And it also had a piece there that Iran-Contra was the subject of an informal lessons-learned discussion 2 years ago among veterans of the Iran-Contra scandal. Elliot Abrams led the discussion. One conclusion was, even though the program was eventually exposed, it had been possible to execute it without telling Congress. As to what the experience taught them in terms of future covert operation, the participants found, 1, you can't trust our friends. 2, the CIA has to be totally out of it. 3, you can't trust the uniformed military. And 4, it's got to be run out of the vice president's office, a reference to Cheney's role, the former senior intelligence official said. And what is Dick Cheney seems to be running this Iran policy right now out of his office, mainly, more than the president. That's minor compared to what's going on now, I would say, but we haven't gotten over the secret government.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have skimmed the Hirsch article, and I want to read it tonight, so I don't want to offer any detailed comment at this point. But it is stunning what he is reporting. And in particular, you know, I think that Hirsch has very good sources inside the Pentagon and inside the intelligence community. And I think that his comments certainly bear watching.
And he saw Senator Wyden on the Intelligence Committee saying that they still are being totally stonewalled, even with the democratically controlled Senate, even with Joe Traderman on the fence right now. Maybe we can get Chuck Hagel to become a Democrat. Yeah, he's pretty disgusted, I think, with the direction of things. But Senator Wyden is saying that they're still stonewalling, not giving him any useful information about what's going on. And
well, Brian, I can't really encourage people to imagine that a Republican is going to defect. I don't see anybody, and Hagel is least likely. I mean, he certainly disagrees with his colleagues in the Republican Party on the war, but
he's pretty far to the right.
Yeah. He could never feel comfortable in the Democratic Party.
An independent, though? As an independent?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
good night, Peter.
All right. But that makes it tougher if he wants to run for president. Millie and Aptos, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, thank you. As we all know, Bush has placed 3 carrier groups in the waters off Iran. I don't understand. Did they have to go through the Straits of Hormuz to get into that position?
Well, I think you come in from the Indian Ocean.
Oh, okay. Then I heard some danger involved with the Straits and the ships.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what do you think really are Bush's motives for placing those ships there?
Well, Millie, I firmly believe that his intent is to start a war with Iran. And he seems to believe that he can attack Iran with relative impunity, and that the fallout, the impact on the United States could be controlled and somehow might be minimal. And I think it is it's reckless to even consider it. But from all indications, including the latest from Seymour Hirsch, he's pretty far down the track.
Well, certainly Bush et al. Can create an incident using those carriers also.
Well, and not only that, there are other ways to create an incident.
Yeah,
and, you know, we see them. They're now these 2 sightings, that's with a C, citations, I'll put it that way, from Iraq that try to link Iran to supplying munitions and other, you know, materiel to their allies inside Iraq. And number one, this has been going on for a while, so that the hand-wringing over it is, something that is suspicious, and you should look at the timing of it. And, the other is that there are many different nations that are supplying arms to the different fighters in Iraq. And he singles out one. And that does seem to be very conscious on his part. Millie, thanks a lot for your call. I want to squeeze in one more here if I can. It's Matthew in Albany, New York. Welcome, Matthew.
Hello, how are you doing, sir?
I'm okay, thank you.
Well, let me tell you something. I am sick and tired of the liberal Democrats who are not doing nothing to stop this war, putting up silly resolutions what they know is not going to work in the first place. Two, we are going to stop this nonsense for voting for these people if they continue to do this. Third, I was listening to Mr. Louis Farrakhan's last speech over the weekend, and it's just something to be desired to hear him, and I'm sorry he will not be on. I'm not sure of what the reason is why is he will not be on.
What do you mean? Farrakhan is ill and appears to be dying.
Oh, that's what it's going on.
He gave a farewell speech. He has cancer.
And by the way, no one decided to play that sub-C-Fan, and I don't know if they did play, because, you know, I mean, at what point in time can we hear some real progressive radio and really hear something like Louis Farrakhan? Have you guys ever played any of his speeches on the air at all?
You know what? I don't connect Louis Farrakhan and progressive in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that says that. Three, the thing that I'm interested in talking also about, as you might be, is the Al Sharpton thing, between Senator Strong Thurmond and him being related to him.
Right.
I was stunned.
I think Al Sharpton was probably a little more stunned than you.
I when I heard that, because I know how he is, and listening to him, and I was just floored to hear that he was related to him. Yeah. And it all started from a reporter at the Daily News.
Right. Matthew, I'm out of time. Trigger's here, and I got to ride off into the sunset. Thanks for your call. Thanks for joining us today. If everybody cooperates, we'll be back at you same time, same stations tomorrow on
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's not always the case, but a big business deal is getting raves from consumers and environmentalists. BJ Austin of station KRLD reports on the proposed $32 billion sale of Texas utility TXU.
TXU CEO John Wilder says selling the company to private investors is a win-win. First of all, customers get a 10% rate cut.
TXU Energy's customers will save between $200 and $550 per year.
Shareholders see a 25% premium on their stock. TXU scraps plans for 8 of 11 controversial new coal plants and in a U-turn promises to reduce greenhouse gases. Jim Marston with the Environmental Defense Fund says this means a greener Texas.
A standard that's applicable only in California, but we're going to do it here in Texas.
BJ Austin, CBS News, Dallas.
Five western states have gotten together for a regional effort to cut greenhouse gas emissions. CBS News correspondent Stephen Kaufman has that story.
The governors of Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, and New Mexico say their region has suffered a great deal from global warming with recent droughts and bad fire seasons. Washington Governor Christine Gregoire says she and the other four governors felt by coming together they could send a very clear message.
The nation needs to move forward, take the issue of global climate change seriously, and we need to begin the process of making a fundamental change.
Gregoire says the western states' agreement comes in the absence of meaningful federal action. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
The Postal Regulatory Commission today recommended a 2-cent hike in the price of a first-class stamp. The Postal Service asked for 3 cents. At the same time, it's proposing something called a forever stamp as a hedge against future rate increases. Spokesman Mark Saunders explains how that would work.
It would go on sale for our proposed 42-cent rate about 30 days in advance. However, after that time, you'll always buy the stamp at the first-class rate. You can hold on to it. And then, you know, your granddaughter, grandchildren could do it.
The postage went to the current 39 cents last January. From Detroit, WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports on the recall of 790,000 Volkswagens.
This expands an earlier recall that had only affected Jettas and new Beetles. Now Volkswagen Golfs and GTIs are included. The problem, brake lights that either don't go on at all, stay on, or in a worst-case situation, actually affect your shift interlock, and the car simply won't shift out of park. Owners will be notified by mail. Those